This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hello. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Fabulous, fabulous to be in here with you this morning. With every passing day, you know, life gets a little bit easier. Do you agree? Maybe not. Some of you out there still not ready to talk about baseball or watch baseball. I'm not that person. I can't. I will never be that person, no matter how devastating it gets. But it is good to be here this morning. Had a great night's sleep. Feeling pretty good this morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. And Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. I don't know that it's getting easier. I never stopped watching baseball like you.
I never do. Yeah.
I at the television station, I live amongst many Dodgers fans.
Do you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, in TV, there's a little, it's more of a nomadic lifestyle.
Big time.
You get people moving around a little bit more. And we definitely have a good chunk. I mean, it's not the majority, but there's definitely a core group of Dodgers fans that I have to interact with on a daily basis. And they're actually quite normal, reasonable people.
Sure.
Which is completely the opposite of the Dodgers fans that we interact with on this show and social media. It's mm-hmm. like they're like totally different fan bases.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I have to sometimes remember that there are regular, normal people who are Dodgers fans.
They're
not all like the ones that seem to gravitate toward my mentions on Twitter. But, you know, It's fine. And I like them, and they're happy, and I had to be happy for them, especially because one of them is our big boss, our GM at the TV station, is diehard Dodgers
fan.
That's
the worst. Is he he's a diehard Dodger fan. Is he a knowledgeable baseball guy, too, or does he only watch during the...
He's a big sports fan. He's got, you know, season tickets to the Lakers. He goes up to the Dodgers games. He's,
sure. That's good.
He's knowledgeable. He's also so polite and friendly. I mean, he's like,
it makes you nuts, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you want him to be more of a jerk.
And he was Leon. He's great, but he was just floating on air, just walking, you know, through the station yesterday. Had to stop by, just, you know, very friendly. Stopped by, but had to see me yesterday. Of course,
had to make a point.
We work on completely opposite corners of the building,
Ben.
So there's no accidentally walking by my desk. You know, he's definitely making the rounds and made sure to see me. And, you know, I actually am. I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for Michael, our 7 p.m. producer, who's a longtime Dodgers fan, real smart guy.
Sure.
Has cheered for the Dodgers as long as I've known him. I assume he grew up cheering for the team. So they're not all Dodgers fans. Some of them are okay.
I have a lot of fun with them. You know, when it crosses the line to getting, like, hate mail and stuff, that sucks. But, like, having fun with them and busting balls is great. Like, it's great. It's what makes sports and baseball in particular, because the season's so long, it makes it so much fun. It really is a fun part of my day. And there's a couple of them that I love giving it to, and they love giving it back to me, that I don't take offense to it, because if I'm going to dish it, I got to be able to take it. And it's just hysterical to me. Now, I will say, I can't thank them enough for all the work that they're putting in on the Ben and Woods show. And Paulie let me know this morning. I don't know. Should we even reveal this secret or just keep the good train rolling?
Interesting.
It's a good idea. Like, it's a good thing. So we start.
Dodger fans, let me just say welcome.
Welcome.
And to everybody on our YouTube channel that's leaving a lot of comments.
Stay active.
And climbing those videos up the charts on the algorithm. And
Paulie,
thank you very much.
When Paulie came to us, you know, a year and a half ago, whatever it was, and says, guys, we got to be on YouTube. I was vehemently against it. Vehemently. And I said, no. I said, we're a radio show. I don't want to take away from our radio product by, you know, having a camera and then, you know, and then the more we did it, the more I thought it made sense. So he starts putting videos up. He's like, hey, we made $7 this month. I'm like, see, this isn't worth it. This is stupid. What are we doing? Let's not tailor our whole lives around a YouTube feed. And I don't think we do. We do a decent job.
I don't think
job.
It takes away from our show now.
No.
I think pretty normal.
I think we got it figured out. But Paulie came this morning. He goes, oh, my God, man. He goes, it's insane. He goes, it's all Dodger fans in our YouTube mentions. He's like, we made $90 on one video. I go, are you kidding me? I'm like, this is how these little turds on social media do it. You like infuriate somebody. They start commenting. It boosts the algorithm. The advertising money goes up and you get, you know, you make a little bit extra cash. Now, $90 at the end of the day isn't much, but like when we need a new light or when we need a new podcast microphone for our live stream, we got it. Thank you. Thank you guys for supporting us. That's what I wanted to say this morning.
So we're going to probably be posting more Dodgers content on our YouTube channel. Should we rebrand? Maybe we put a little like flag or something in the corner just to alert the Padres fans. Don't worry, just ignore this. This isn't for you.
Don't
this
watch,
is
please.
For our new audience. This
our
is,
new audience.
It's for all the new people. Who have come and joined us this month of October.
Yeah, it's the mega market is what we're going to do. No, man, it is so, so funny, dude. So, so funny. It's not, you know, it is fun. I do enjoy it. Like, watch, I have so many people in my feed that said, Wizzy, I don't know how you're watching this game. And I go, what do you mean? Like, the worst day of the year, no matter who wins or loses the World Series, is that last out. Now, thank God for Major League Baseball. This year, our lag time is really going to be very, very, very short. I mean, we're going to have about, 6 weeks or something before we're really, really getting amped up again. So as a show that's dedicated itself to covering baseball, you know, the less lag, the better.
Yeah, we are always going to be your Padres station. We do have our new weekly with Dr. Ken starting today and Mario Lopez, though.
Yeah, so. Mario Lopez. Yeah. He's going to be our celebrity picker here.
Did you book Adrian Gonzalez or should I?
Coming up next, Chase Utley joins the program. And our fans are just sort of like, what are you guys doing? Like, I wanted Padre
the phones. Jerry Hairston Jr. is online. Dude, some Dodgers analysts.
It's crazy. Pauly told me that this morning. I go, all right, well, I mean, I guess just keep it coming. I guess let's just poke the hornet's nest. I mean, again, as long as you're not sending hate mail with, like, pictures of doo-doo to me, then let's just have some fun with it. It really is. It's fun. And the baseball playoffs, man, they just have not disappointed. They just have not. I mean, obviously, we're disappointed. But if you weren't, I don't even want to say if you're a casual baseball fan. If you're a casual baseball fan and your team's not in it, I don't know that you're watching. But I'm such a hardcore baseball fan that even when my team is out of it, I cannot stop watching the games. I love the strategy. I love the unsung heroes. I love all of that. I love the guys that are supposed to come through, coming through. I love the guys that really only come through in October, coming through. There's really cool stuff going on in the playoffs, and we'll talk about that today. I woke up this morning. I'm in the double chamber, the double torture chamber. So a couple weeks ago on the show, we all wrote down and brought in all of the vitamins and supplements that we take.
I remember, yeah.
So I haven't changed a thing. Nothing.
What was the weirdest one that you took?
I mean, a cayenne pepper supplement. Well, so for the last two mornings, so I take it before I go to bed, and mixed in my vitamins that I take every night is a cayenne pepper supplement. It's
capsule
for capsule. It's for like blood pressure, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's been recommended to me. And I also take
it's not spicy when you eat it, though. A little bit.
Okay. No, not when you swallow it.
Okay.
So, and fish oil is the other one. So I woke up this morning I actually slept to my alarm. My alarm went off and I woke up and I went, what? The fish oil and cayenne pepper had bubbled up on me.
God.
You want to talk about a combo at 4:15 in the morning that will make your blood curdle?
Did I just eat blackened catfish?
Did you make blackened mahi last night?
Oh,
bro.
Man.
I woke up this morning. Now, the cayenne pepper, so obviously the fish taste at 4 o'clock this morning is terrible.
Yeah.
Mixed with the searing heat of the cayenne pepper down your throat. I mean, I woke up this morning. I was like, oh my God. Went in, rinse, swallowed, brushed my teeth, rinse, swallowed, got in the shower. Rinse in the shower, spinning the whole thing.
You got eco water coming out of the
faucet. Eco water coming out, only nothing but the best. Get out, I put my towel on, I go, I'm like, what is wrong with this?
Welcome to the torture channel.
I was in it, dude. I was in it. So I run to the bedroom, I get my Tums out, I eat two Tums, just anything to try to like get it down. Go out, start making the kids' lunches this morning before I take off, make a coffee, you know, nice, strong, hot coffee. I get in the car. You mix coffee, my Death Wish coffee, with cayenne pepper
and fish oil.
I mean, I drove to work. I had my head out the window, just like I was in the chamber. The chamber. What a combo. Cayenne pepper and fish oil, both bubbling up on me 2 days in a row, dude. 2 days in a row. So I don't know. I may have to switch up the routine or something, but it was not a good morning for your old pal Woodsy in here at all. Also, we are in the process of, Ben, you have kids. A lot of you out there have kids. My son, Taylor, who you loathe, is turning 4 years old. November 6th. It's his fourth birthday. He's very excited about it. The planning for his fourth birthday party might put your old pal. If the cayenne pepper and fish oil don't put me in the grave, the planning for this.
I mean, it is the major milestone.
Huge, right? This kid doesn't know what planet he's on right now. Hannah's like, I've got two proposals out to two different places, and we'll see. The prices came in yesterday. I went, Are you out of your mind?
Submitting like bids?
Yes,
like for birthday parties,
bro. You think I'm kidding? One place, I'm not going to name any names here. One place was $1,500. The other place was $600. I go, we'll go with the $600 one. Say, I mean, that's way too much. That's way too much.
Given those two options,
he's four. He's 4 years old.
Does this come with all the food and the presents and everything?
This comes with
venue rental.
This is venue rental. This is. Yeah, in one place you get like a wristband that's good for a few games and things like that. And I looked at her, I go, let's just go to the park like we've done for every. She goes, it's too much work for me. I have to do all the cleanup. I go, I'll do the cleanup. She
I
goes,
can get
no.
you a good deal at the Elks Club if you want to just have a space. And
so at this point, I don't know what to do. All I know is this kid's 4 years old and he's about to have a $1,500 birthday party somewhere to do something. They're little money traps. That's really all they are right now. They're just money. They're frustrating little money traps.
But you and Hannah go over the top.
We do. Well, Hannah goes over the top. I'm along for the ride. That's all it is. I'm just totally. I said to her this morning, I go, you know, Mickey D's has a playground outside. Because we always go to the Jersey Mike's. You know the one. And it's right next to Mickey D's. Yeah. And every time we leave Jersey Mike's, he goes, I want to play on there, Daddy. It's what I did. When I was a kid, Paul, you probably had Mickey D's birthday parties.
Oh, yeah.
Benny?
I don't think they charge you. You just have to buy food, and that's it. You're there, and you can use the play place.
I can't. I can't figure this out. She's in the chat, though, but it is. She's at proposals out. It's a four-year-old's birthday party. I'm like, maybe you're going a little bit.
You will have so many wonderful memories that you probably won't remember because you're an older parent, so by the time. You want to appreciate those memories. They'll all be gone anyway.
These dudes' birthdays every year. The morning of it, Hannah's like a total drill sergeant. I never enjoy it. It's always, instead of like, hey, I want to celebrate my little guy, it's his birthday. One of the best days of my life when they were born. And now it just turns into a big nightmare every single day. Now, maybe a $1,500 nightmare, which, by the way, we all know that's not going to be the total.
Right.
$1,500 is the baseline.
Get in the door price.
That's get into the club. You still have to buy bottles and bottle service, okay? $1,500 gets all you guys in. So Cole says McDonald's playground is where Dodger fans bring their kids. Buddy, if it's on the house, though, like, there's not like a pizza joint somewhere we can host? I mean, there's got to be something better.
The irony is that with kids, sometimes the simplest things are the ones that they remember.
That's exactly
and
right.
Love the most.
How about we get them a box? Just one box, and all the kids in the neighborhood can play in it in the front yard.
A fort,
and that's what we'll call it. But yeah, so I'm in the chamber there. We'll get some solutions on that. But we got a fun show today. I'm excited to talk some baseball. If you missed it, I don't know what to tell you. It's some really good baseball happened yesterday, and I also want to we'll talk about the menu next. But let's look a little bit. Turn the page a little bit.
Yeah, we'll start looking ahead toward the offseason and the decisions facing the Padres. We will set the menu for the show coming up next. Glad to have all of you with us. Padres fans, Dodgers fans, good morning to all of you.
Keep those mean comments coming.
Paul Reindel, Ben Higgins, Stephen Woods.
You guys are losers.
Got Kelly's traffic, and then we're back on San Diego's number one sports station and home of Dodgers fans, 97.3 The Fan.
As you said, Woods, we're going to start looking ahead a little bit, including a question that we're going to ask coming up in our next segment, where we used to have our Padres wrap up. Now that the season's over, I'd like to continue as much a Padres talk in that segment as possible. Would you concur?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's, 6:35 kind of a time we're going to get some Padres baseball most days, even during the off season.
We've never been the show that covered the Padres because we had to. We've always been the show that covered the Padres because, well, we want to. And a lot of shows will be moving back to their regular scheduled program. We will not. We will be doing what we've done every day for the entire year, starting January 1.
That's true and not true. We did want to do it.
Correct. We weren't allowed to.
We also... We enjoy it. We want to do it. But in 2018, most shows in town were still talking about the team that left us and the sport that left us.
Correct.
And whether it was pro-Chargers or anti-Chargers or whatever, like, that was still the conversation. And honestly, maybe rightfully so.
Sure.
The Padres hadn't warranted a lot of the conversation yet. We chose to go against the grain a little bit.
Actively
go against the grain a little bit. And then a year in, they signed Manny. They brought up Fernando.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was a good time.
We were right there, right before it got real fun. But we kind of went against the grain there for sure.
We're going to keep doing our thing.
I mean, I still think baseball is a tremendously exciting sport.
Massively,
in my mind.
Massively. Oh.
And while I also like football, you get a game like last night's. I don't know if anyone watched the Bills and the Jets.
Heard it was
like
great.
20 plus penalties, just constantly stopping down the officials just every play over and over. And it was a close game. Aaron Rodgers had a chance to come through at the end. They did not. The Jets lose again. But honestly, I thought the baseball games, especially, you know, the Dodgers-Mets game, had a lot of intrigue. And it's not just football that can provide that edge of your seat excitement. I think especially playoff baseball, that delivers, and pretty consistently this postseason, it has delivered over and over again, Woods.
Bro, it is. Yesterday was nuts. I mean, it was nuts. And you see what a team like the Dodgers is made of. You see what a team like the Mets having to hold on and scrap. You see the Yankees. You saw the Guardians really make, in a game you felt like they had no chance of being close in, you felt like they were dominated. Next thing you know, you look up and you go, oh my God, they got to bring their closer in for a 5-out save because our old pal Timmy Hill gave up 3 straight singles. Big day yesterday if you're a Padres fan. You had several former Padres towing the rubber yesterday in the big leagues. I mean, I listed 5 and I forgot the main one, Sean Manaea, who pitched in Dodger Stadium yesterday.
Feels like at some point, you know, A.J. Preller's been around now almost a decade. As long as he continues as general manager, everyone's going to cycle through the Padres eventually, and the entire league will be former Padres.
I think so. I think at some point they will all.
We're getting a lot closer to that day.
It's pretty insane.
That's for sure.
Pretty insane.
In today's Padres segment, I wanted to focus in on something Mike Shildt said. We'll play the audio coming up in our next segment. But essentially, after the game, after the loss on Friday, he said he expects the Padres are now set up for a run of multiple postseasons in a row. Which sounds really nice as a Padres fan, because it's something they've never really done in their franchise history. I went back and looked. Only once have the Padres ever gone to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. And never in franchise history have they won postseason games in consecutive years.
Wow.
Is this the time where they're able to turn that around? We will talk about that and what Mike Shildt had to say coming up in our next segment. At 7 o'clock, we'll get into more of the games yesterday, NLCS and ALCS. We'll play Take on Woods. Don't do this at 7:20. Ravens fan behaving badly on camera. It's not going well for him as far as I've seen.
He's not going to have a good day.
And then we'll continue our discussion of both Mike Shildt and Ruben Neivel, the coaching staff. One of the first things we're going to discuss, and something the Padres do need to address fairly quickly this offseason, and making sure that they get back the guys that they need to get back on their coaching staff. It is Tuesday, and one more time, Jesse Agler will join us at 8:35 to wrap everything up One last appearance, and then we'll let Jesse have his off season because he'll be back before you know it, heading to spring training. But Jesse's going to join us one more time, and we can thank him for all of his appearances throughout the year when he is with us at 8:35. Paulie's got a Rindle report coming up at 9 o'clock, and then we'll hand things over to Annie and Elston coming up at 10. So there's your menu for the program today. A little bit of Padres, a little bit of Ben and Wood stuff, and hopefully a good show on a Tuesday.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait to get into it. I watched every pitch of every game yesterday, so I'm well prepared to talk some baseball today.
Excellent. All right, well, let's take time out. We'll come back, and we can jump into Mike Shildt's audio and the Padres, whether you think that they are starting a run of multiple postseason appearances, you know, chances to win a World Series, because honestly, Padres have never done that in franchise history in 56 seasons. Is this the turning point for your San Diego Padres? That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, I want to play the clip because Mike Shildt didn't mince his words after the loss on Friday. Yes, it was a painful ending to the season for the San Diego Padres, but the skipper thinks his team is positioned well going forward.
He stays positive, doesn't he?
He does. And there's no doubt about that. Now it's our job to, you know, and analyze what he says,
yeah,
and decide if we agree or not. So here was Mike Shildt after the game on Friday.
You know, back to Jeff's question about summing up the season, being able to regroup as quickly as this organization did, and like you said, cut whatever was $90 million, and you know we also lost a lot of, you know, big name free agents and went elsewhere, but again, I give AJ and our group credit. You know, we compete with what we have, and we have is really good, and we got a good foundation moving forward. I don't expect this to be a one-off. Well, I firmly expect this group to come back and be ready to go for the, you know, consecutive playoff run for 2, 3, 4 years. That'll be historic in San Diego baseball history. You know, as far as the payroll goes, ultimately it comes down to playing good baseball, and we did that all season.
But do you think that the scales are kind of tipped by the fact that, you know, the Dodgers are going to just keep spending? I mean, that's not going to change.
No, it's probably not going to change. But I give, you know, zero energy or thought towards that. You know, blessed to work with the club we've got, and we're going to get the most help we have, and what we have is plenty. And I'm confident in our ownership, and AJ will only compliment what we are doing now.
Well, it would be, as Mike Shildt said, historic in baseball history in San Diego to make the playoffs multiple seasons in a row. The only time the Padres have ever gone to the playoffs in back-to-back years, 2005 and 2006. And
they weren't
exactly the greatest of playoff seasons. 2005, they snuck in with a bad division, barely were over 500, and then went out quickly in the postseason. They were better in 2006, won the division again, but again were eliminated in the first round after winning just one playoff game. And that's it. I mean, it was 1984, then a long break until 1996. 1997 was, you know, kind of a disappointing fallback year. And then 1998 was great. And then nothing again until 2005 and 6. And then again, nothing until 2020, the short season. 2021, we remember the once in a century collapse by the Padres.
How could we forget?
2022, great. Made it to the NLCS.
Fun. Yep.
2023,
off the cliff.
Collapse, disappointing, off the cliff. And now back to the playoffs in 2024. This has not been a franchise that makes consecutive playoff runs like, you know, hello Dodgers fans, like the LA Dodgers do. They go back to the playoffs year in and year out, which is clearly a better strategy. If you want to win the World Series, yes.
Get more chances at it.
You know, you want to have good players and you want to have everything come together. But you also just need a lot of chances at it.
Yeah.
Because there is so much randomness in the playoffs that the more times you get there, clearly the better chances you're going to have of at least once surviving all the way through.
Sure.
And making it to the World Series or making it to that World Championship. Now, the question as we head to traffic is, do the Padres have that foundation, as Mike Shildt said,
to make the consecutive runs like the Dodgers have been doing. And we're going to talk about that right after Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Traffic is sponsored by Ulta Beauty. They got that stalled school bus out of the way in the Hillcrest area, southbound 163 near Washington, so speeds are looking better there. We do have a stalled car on the University Avenue off-ramp, northbound 805. Also traveling on westbound 52 past the 125, collision in the center divide, south 125, dealing with a crash just past Lemon. Everything is over the right shoulder. I got a couple problems in the North County, southbound 5 Coastline, right before Birmingham, a collision, not sure if lanes are blocked. And in Fallbrook, south 15, past Mission Road, a collision involving a motorcycle appears to be all in the center divide. The Emerald City came to Ulta Beauty with wicked collaborations from REM Beauty by Ariana Grande, It Brushes for Ulta and OPI Korean. These fantabulous products won't last long. See Wicked November 22nd, only in theaters. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful. I'm Kelly Danik with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Woods, I would think that this past season set at least a few Padres fans' minds at ease when it came to the questions of, is Manny Machado still in his prime? Will Fernando Tatis Jr. bounce back to somewhat of the levels that we saw before injury and suspension? Those questions were answered, I think, fairly positively and affirmatively. That makes you feel like, okay, at the minimum, the Padres have a core of superstars that is still going to be good for seasons to come. And now you add a Jackson Merrill to that mix, who I would think is also going to continue to improve and be a core member of that team. That's a really good place to start for any franchise that wants to make consecutive playoff runs.
Yeah, no question. And there's a part of me that agrees with our buddy Mike on Twitter, who says Schilt's comments are pure eyewash to end the season on a positive note. We were told the same in 19 when Manny signed and they crapped the bed. Told it after 20, they crapped the bed. Told it after 22, they crapped the bed. I'll believe it when I see it. That is beyond fair. It's beyond fair and reasonable. It is, I think, something that you say if you're the manager who just lost a devastating two games in a row where you didn't score for 24 innings, you know, and I think it's something that you say to maybe yourself, really. Like, I think about it here, I'm pretty certain we can do this again. It's not up to Mike Schilt, though, necessarily. It's going to be up to ownership. And ownership is really going to be the key player in the offseason, in my opinion. Now, who is actually calling the shots, you know, who is making the decisions on payroll? And I'll tell you, man, I'm going to be watching it closely, because after what Padres fans did this year, after a massively disappointing 23, massively, what Padres fans did at Petco Park this year, setting records, setting sellout records, attendance records, they deserve it. They deserve it. Period. The end. So it's going to be real hard for me to stomach we got to keep it lean again. There's only so many miracles AJ Preller and Mike Schilt and that crew can work. So I'm not saying you have to go out and spend like you did in 23. I'm not saying you have to blow past the tax, but you got
$500 million. Yeah, Juan Soto.
You got to continue to make smart decisions. And AJ this year, I thought, made a lot of right decisions and a lot of smart decisions. And we, like every team, got hit by the injury bug. We weathered so many storms, losing Tatis for so long, you know, losing Joe, losing so many guys.
Kim.
We really weathered the storm
Manny
well.
Manny was hurt for the first time.
Manny was hurt for first 3 months or whatever. Like, they really did a great job at weathering those storms. Can you expect that again, you know, on a leaner type payroll? So I love that Mike Schilt thinks that. I tend to agree with the expanded playoffs. We better. With the guys that we have right now currently under contract for many, many years to come. Yes, dude. That at a bare minimum, I think you have to make the playoffs next year. That's the baseline for me. You still have good pitching under control, albeit a couple of them for only a year. But you got to figure it out. You know, you have to figure it out. You cannot let what just happened, you know, 56 sellouts out of 81 home games, Tuesday night against the Marlins, you got 47,000 people in there. it's going to be really hard for me to swallow as a fan and a broadcaster if they're like, sorry, man, we just not in the budget, not in the cards. It's going to be tough for me to stomach.
We talked a lot this year about expectations and how our expectations at the beginning of the season, heading into the season, were pretty low. It was a rough, rough offseason following a very disappointing 2023. And then about halfway through the season, expectations changed.
Big time.
Towards September, they really change. And you're like, this could be a World Series team.
Correct.
Expectations change. Promise you now, expectations will be higher next year.
No doubt.
It's not going to be, if we're lucky enough to get into the dance, we'll see what happens.
Now, we don't have a Juan Soto to go out and trade necessarily for five pieces or whatnot this year. That's going to be, the good news is, I'm assuming that on opening day, everybody healthy, right? I'm assuming on opening day, you'll have Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Jake Cronenworth, Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis Jr., at a minimum. So, and again, I threw Crony in there, but Crony was a two-war player. He wasn't as bad as everybody thought he was last year. He wasn't great. Yeah, Arise, still under contract. So, guys, I think... Oh, and by the way, Cease, under control. Michael King, under control. Darvish under control. Like, there's Robert Suarez under control. Some of the guys in the bullpen, Jason Adams back. Like, there's plenty to work with here. There's plenty to work with and feel confident about.
So beyond just who is currently on the roster, because, you know, that will change over time for any team. What do the teams that make the playoffs consistently have in common? I think it's fairly obvious. Who are the teams that make the playoffs consistently?
The Braves.
The Dodgers, the Braves, the Astros. Yankees missed it last year, but they're in most seasons.
Yeah.
What do the teams that make the playoffs consistently? And it's not just payroll, but payroll is a big part of it. Texas Rangers have a big payroll. They don't make it consistently. They won a World Series. It's payroll and usually smart decision making combined together.
Correct.
That's the only way to do it, especially if you're playing in the East or the West. If you're in the Central, you know, the Brewers have been making it regularly without a huge payroll, but they just win a division that's not quite as competitive. That gives them a bit of an advantage. Padres will never have that advantage. Playing in the Dodgers division, I don't see a time coming up anytime soon. Bless Frank McCourt's tenure as owner of the Dodgers, where all of a sudden they're just a 78-win team for 5 or 6 years. Not going to happen again. Maybe not in our lifetime. I don't know. They're going to be good for a long time.
They
are. If you want to make the playoffs consistently, figure you got to win 90-plus games almost every year. To do that, you have to be smart. You have to spend as well.
Correct.
Both of those things have to be true. If you take one of those out of the equation, you will have years in which you miss the playoffs.
You know, and I don't like that mentality whoever that reporter was like, well, I mean, why even try if the Dodgers are going to keep spending? Like, they spend every year. They have one little championship to show for it. It's hard in October. It's hard to win, you know? So I think the Giants are going to be better. I don't know what the Diamondbacks are going to do. I don't. They are losing their... Did they lose their TV money already?
They
did like the Padres. So, you know, these teams got to figure it out. And AJ and his team did a phenomenal job. Losing that revenue and having this team in the position that they were in is a bummer. We played the Dodgers, Benny, when they were at full strength. We took on Tyler Glasnow this year. We took on their best, certainly. So it's not like they're unbeatable. They're human beings as well. But yeah, they're going to continue to spend.
Now,
don't be surprised if Juan Soto's not out there in left field for them next year.
To me, the franchise that the Padres really need to compare themselves to is not the Dodgers. They're never going to be able to spend like the Dodgers do. The Dodgers are smart. You love to be smart like the Dodgers, but you can't spend like them. It's the Braves. The Braves spend, but they don't spend crazy. They will let stars go, like Freddie Freeman, if they feel like we just can't afford it. They sign guys early, like the Padres do, to long-term contracts, try to lock them up. They are in the upper half of payroll, you know, top 10. They're a big market, but they're never one, two, or three in payroll. That, to me, right now, is kind of the sweet spot where the Padres need to be and do what the Braves have done consistently. And that requires a really smart front office and ownership that's at least willing to invest. And right now, I believe the Padres do have those two things together.
I learned a lot. I went into the season. Remember what my motto was for the season? I just want to learn. I want to be a vessel of learning. And that's what I was this year as a baseball fan. I learned a ton. I learned a ton about the way a Mike Schilt team is run. We traditionally finish better than we start. And he did that until the very, very last two games. They did that. I mean, they really did. They played some really good baseball down the stretch, some elite, elite baseball down the stretch. They didn't start all that well. 500 team, as we all know. I love the way they finished. So what I learned, too, is I'm not going to panic if, you know, on day one, my roster has a Stephen Kolek on it, right? Like we did last year. AJ did a really good job. As long as AJ Preller continues to restock the farm and move those pieces for guys like he did this year, filling out a roster, trade deadline is where he really shone this year. It was his best by far. And again, had this team poised on a World Series run. I learned a lot about this regime of Preller and Schilt, and I believe in it. I really do. I still believe in it. There's no guarantees, though. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantee that Tatis stays healthy. There's no guarantee that Merrill comes back and does what he did. Let me tell you this. And I don't say this lightly. Jackson Merrill saved the bacon of that entire organization. Saved it. You paid him $600,000. He was an all-star, played above an all-star level all season long in a premier position in center field. He saved your ass, man, and you paid him $600,000 to do it. And he was worth $20 million, right? You're going to pay him eventually. He saved this entire season. I don't say that lightly.
That's also the sign of a smarter front office.
Correct.
That drafts and develops a Jackson Merrill, something that we've been asking for, have not seen the fruit of your farm system really producing in your own team that often. This was a big win for Jackson Merrill, clearly, but also for AJ Preller and his scouts and his team.
There's no doubt.
To have success with Jackson Merrill. Now, the one thing, and you kind of alluded to it, that the Padres and other teams can't control is injuries. That any team is susceptible to injuries, except for the Dodgers. The Dodgers had debilitating injuries this year, but because they spend so much, you know, if the Dodgers had to cut $100 million from payroll and had the injuries that they had this year, they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Correct.
But because they have so much money to spend on their MVPs, and they can bring in a Teoscar Hernandez and really not blink, and they can have enough, even when they lose so many pitchers, they can still pick up, you know, a Jack Flaherty and sign a Yamamoto for $300 million. They can survive losing as many pitchers as they did and still make the playoffs. They are.
And thrive in the playoffs.
They are kind of bulletproof at this point.
Yep.
When it comes to, I don't see the Dodgers really missing the playoffs. They would have to have so much go wrong, which means that's one of the spots that's taken almost every year.
Yep.
Could the Padres beat them out for a division title? Sure, we saw they almost did it this year. It's possible, but you need a lot of things to go right and you need a lot of things to go wrong for the Dodgers, which means you're competing for that wild card most years, which is great that it exists. I mean, imagine an era in which baseball was still just the division winner gets in.
I mean,
it would feel fairly bleak and hopeless.
We would be pivoting to straight San Diego Seals talk on this radio show, because if that were the case, I mean, again, like I said, with the expanded wild card, teams getting in, it's a baseline for the San Diego Padres with what they have committed to all the players that they have committed to, some mistakes, some not, some TBD, it's the baseline. It should be the bare minimum expectation. And I'll tell you, man, going into the season last year, I had them picked at 81 and 81. Boy, was I wrong. You know, I'd love to exceed those expectations every year, but my expectations, based on what I saw this year, are obviously going to change. They're obviously going to be more. And I know you're going to lose guys. I know guys are going to leave for free agency. That's not my problem. I just listed 7-8 guys that you can build a team around and add pieces to that should get you into the playoffs.
The tough part for me is going to be it took 10 years in the AJ Preller era,
right,
for him to finally have his best
team. A 90-win season,
a playoff team, easily the best roster, the most complete roster top to bottom.
Yeah.
Took him 10 years. Can he do it again next year? Because he kind of has to.
Got to.
he hit all the right buttons this year.
Is that going to happen
again? Well, I mean, you know, he's not a player where, you know, his skills are declining. He should only be getting smarter,
yeah,
more experienced, more savvy as a general manager.
And learning from your mistakes.
This is Peter Seidler's faith in him kind of paying off. This is why Peter kept saying, no, I'm sticking with AJ, because he knows consistency, stability is actually usually a good thing in professional sports. I think the other big question is, does Mike Schilt's message continue to resonate with players going forward?
We'll
talk
about
the manager and his status coming up in our next hour. And when we come back, ALCS Game 1, NLCS Game 2, and take on Woods, all coming up on 97.3 The Fan.